So you may know the joke, but you can laugh anyway. Old Jewish man is walking across the street, and somebody backs their car up and hits him, and he falls over. They come running out, they feel terrible, and they see the guy lying in the street. They say, oh, I'm going to call an ambulance, and they take off their jacket, and they put it under his head. And they say, don't worry, everybody's going to take care of you, but just tell me, are you okay? Are you comfortable? He goes, well, I make a living. And I bring this joke up because today I want to talk a little bit about making a living. Because one of the phrases in this morning's Tochecha, the very, very long Aliyah, that talks about the curses, says that Israel will, if they do the wrong thing, serve others. And that phrase actually comes into a Talmudic discussion about whether you should only study Torah or whether you should study Torah and work. And one rabbi says, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, no, you should only study Torah. And if you only study Torah, the opposite of the curse will happen. That is, other people will end up working for you. All you need to do is study Torah. Rabbi Ishmael says the opposite. He says, no, you have to combine work with study. That's the right way to make a living. Abaye, who's a later authority, comes along and says, a lot of people tried it Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai's way, that is, they only studied Torah, and it didn't work so well. Other people tried it Rabbi Ishmael's way, that is, they worked and studied Torah, and it worked much better. So the ideal is to combine work and study. That's why, you know, each week I send out the sermons to those of you who get the email from Howard, our executive director, standing there casually in the back, observing you. Because now we're all about social media. I put it on Facebook, now I put it on Twitter. Yes, I tweet, I'm sorry to say, but I do. It's kind of fun, actually. But we said, and the title of the sermon was, should you study or get a job? And everybody who commented on it said, I'll bet you're going to talk about those people in Israel who only study and they don't work. And I said, actually, no, that wasn't my intention. It's too easy to criticize people who do what you already know is problematic, especially when the criticism doesn't apply to any of us. It's true. There are people who spend all day studying Torah and are supported by the state, and I think, as you do, that that's not good. But I'm actually concerned about the other problem. Not their problem, but our problem. The one that isn't mentioned in the Talmud because the rabbis couldn't imagine it. Which is, what about the people who only work and never study? What about the people whose knowledge of Judaism is no greater than it was 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, because in those 20 years they haven't opened a book of Jewish learning to study? Because they haven't attended a class? Because they'll say the Torah says something, but if you say to them where or why or what, they'll have just a sort of vague idea because they don't apply themselves to their own tradition. In other words, I want to encourage you, since we're coming up on the new year, to learn. Learning is not only the heart of the Jewish tradition, but according to a book that came out a little more than a year ago, it's why you're here and why Jews have succeeded. Because they did a sort of social economic study of Jews throughout the ages, and this is what they found. The Jewish tradition, in order to keep it, demands that people study. And starting from Rabbi Yehoshua ben Gamla, thousands of years ago, it was mandated that Jews teach their children, and so the Jewish community had a much, much, much higher literacy rate than the communities around us, because you can't study if you can't read. Now, in order to be literate, it took a great investment of time and resources. You know this. It's not easy to send your kids to school. And these days, in order to send your child to college, you have to be Warren Buffett. So it's costly in terms of resources and in terms of time. And therefore, they said, those members of the Jewish community who were not willing to invest time and resources eventually fell away, leaving a core of Jews who had an intense emphasis on education, so much so that they were willing to give time and to give money to education. And that's why, again and again and again, when you examine fields that require education, you find Jews excelling, because they've been doing it for thousands of years. Now, I think that's great. I'm thrilled that we have people who run wonderful businesses, who are doctors and lawyers and professionals of all types. But remember that it all started because we studied Torah. And what a shame it would be if we were skilled in everything else. I know Jews who speak French, Italian, Russian, English, sometimes Farsi, and not a word of Hebrew. And I think if you can learn all those other languages, if you're going to Italy in 3 weeks, so all of a sudden you go to Berlitz so that you can learn Italian, you could learn some Hebrew. Or Jews who revere the Torah, who stand up every time it appears, but haven't opened a book to read it. The Eitz Chaim that we have in synagogue, don't take it home, because it belongs to Sinai Temple, and you actually shouldn't study Torah by stealing. But, but, you can buy it in our gift shop. You can buy it online. Better in the gift shop, but you can buy it online. And you can either bring it with you to synagogue or sit at home for 10 minutes a day, a half hour, read a couple of verses and commentary. And that really was the only pitch I wanted to make before the holidays this year. We'll get to repentance later. But for now, I just want to say how wonderful it would be if in the coming year, in the same way that people make programs for exercise, and the same way that people make programs for earning money or for educating their children, how wonderful it would be to take one good book of Jewish learning and say, in the course of the year, I'm going to make my way through this book so that I will know more than I did before. That's okay. Just, you will, when he goes to school, then he'll really. While I was thinking about this yesterday, talking about learning and how we should learn, I was reminded of a passage from a book. The book has nothing to do with Judaism, I should say. But before there was Game of Thrones, and before there was Harry Potter, decades ago, and in fact, starting centuries ago, there were legends about King Arthur. Camelot, you all know Camelot, the legends of King Arthur. And there was a wonderful classic book written in the last century called The Once and Future King. If you like books like Game of Thrones or medieval books, you'll love The Once and Future King. It's a wonderful book. But that I'm not here actually today to sell T.H. White's book. It's because in this book, Merlin is the magician who teaches Arthur how to be a king. And Merlin is full of wonderful wisdom. And one passage in particular, from the time I first read the book, I thought was so wonderful that I wanted to read it to you. And I can read it to you because yesterday I printed it out in big print. The best thing for being sad, replied Merlin, beginning to puff and blow, is to learn something. That's the only thing that never fails. You may grow old and trembling in your anatomies, You may lie awake at night listening to the disorder of your veins. You may miss your only love. You may see the world about you devastated by evil lunatics or know your honor trampled in the sewers of baser minds. There's only one thing for it then, to learn. Learn why the world wags and what wags it. That is the only thing which the mind can never exhaust, never alienate, never be tortured by, never fear or distrust, and never dream of regretting. Learning is the only thing for you. Look what a lot of things there are to learn. Merlin wasn't a Torah scholar, but he could have been. There is a world of learning in our Torah and in our tradition. To remind you of the magician's words, it is the only thing which the mind can never exhaust, never alienate, never be tortured by, never fear or distrust, and never dream of regretting. Learning is the only thing for you. So in this coming year, we have classes, we have programs, we have books, we have teachers. I hope that you will learn. Shabbat Shalom.